Welcome to this message from Shofar Christian Church. May you experience God's grace as you listen to this word being preached.
Thank you. You may have a seat, Alistair. Thank you very much. Really excited to hear the word tonight. I hope it will continue as is. Thank you.
Thanks, Ani. Sure. Wow. Isn't God amazing? Woo! Good evening, Silawam and Shofar. What a privilege to be here this evening. I want to thank Gustav and Pastor Theo. You've got an amazing leadership team, Silawam, eh? Can you say amen to that? What an amazing pastor. I actually met Pastor Theo when I got here in 2011. It's 9 years ago, and what a blessing he was to me. He actually asked for my banking details at the end of 2011. He said, I want to deposit some money into your bank account. Not the church's bank account, your bank account. So what a blessing, and we've had a relationship since then. We haven't seen each other sometimes, you know, through certain years, not much, but other years a little bit more. In the last while, we've just renewed our friendship again, and what a blessing to be here with you guys and to have your venue here at the back, the youth venue. It's such a blessing to just be welcomed into this venue and this property and just have partnerships. Isn't the kingdom of God amazing? Eh? It's about relationships, about love, as we've just sung now, it's about partnership. So I want to honor Silawam, and I just thought of it now, it's amazing. And the S for Silawam and the S for Shofar, when we get together, then the Spirit is welcome. Amen. S and S, and then the Holy Spirit is the main S amongst all of us here tonight. What a privilege. I'm really excited, and I trust that you're expected tonight. Amen. Are you expected for the Word of God? This is what I'm living for, and what I've been born for is to preach the gospel. I'm just so excited. Never forget, 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, it was actually before we were married, 2007 or 2006 was the first time I preached in a church, so 14 years ago, and I just knew. I spoke to my dad afterwards. I said, Dad, and I'm a mechanical engineer by qualification originally. I worked as an engineer for 10 years and started to preach, and the Lord just showed me that this is my calling. And I said to my dad, Dad, this is that feeling that I've got. I don't know what it is, but this is what I'm called for. I haven't felt this in the engineering field yet, but I'm feeling this in the ministry. And a year or two later, I was full-time in the ministry. So I've been in the ministry now for over 10 years. It's been an incredible blessing, incredible challenges as well. It's not for everyone. You need to know that you're called, amen. But what a blessing, what a privilege to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight, amen. So tell someone next to you, are you expectant? So I actually just want to share a testimony about what happened to us as a church a couple of weeks ago. Maybe some of you read it in News 24, and maybe some of you saw it on Facebook, but it changed my life, and some of us who were there changed our lives. But I want to share tonight, the title of my message is called From Pain to Purpose. Say, from pain to purpose. Or from a mess to a message. Say, from a mess to a message. Or from a test to a testimony. Say, from a test to a testimony. I don't know about you guys, but has 2020 been an amazing year for anyone here? Like, whoa, it's been the best year ever. I'm sure most of you have experienced more pain and discomfort this year than in any other year. Is that possibly so for many of us? 2020 has been a year of shaking, a year of challenges, a year that we would have never, you know, I don't think one prophet, even the most hardened prophet in the kingdom of God, could prophesy that this was going to be a year like we've had. But God knew about it, and God knew the discomfort and the pain that we would maybe go through, the shaking, even in the church is being shaken like never before, believers are being shaken like never before, marriages are being shaken, amen. And your life maybe this year was shaken a little bit. And it's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. But maybe you're looking back at this year and you think, sure, I don't want this year again. I can't wait for 2021 to come, because then we can start afresh. And I want to say to you tonight, don't go into 2021 with that mindset. Go into 2021 with the thing of, I'm going to let 2020 be a year of God's glory in my life. Amen. So maybe tonight I want to ask you, will you allow Jesus to make 2020 your story for His glory? Will you allow Him to do that? And I'll never forget the 26th of October 2020. I'll never forget it, because it was the day that I was faced with something I've never been faced in my life before. And so we were busy here with the course, 19 of us here in the youth venue at the back, and it was about 20 to 9, we were almost finished. And we were going to do a session on moving in the gifts of the Spirit and just, you know, really allowing the Spirit to work through us. But I was sharing on how to share your testimony, how to lead someone to the Lord, and I was sharing my own testimony at the time, and this guy walked into the venue, and I was thinking, this looks like a security guard. He doesn't look very sure as to what he wants to do here, but he looked kind of a bit confused and flustered, and he was walking around at the back of the church, and then suddenly he takes out the laptop, he rips the laptop out, and the screens go blank, and I'm carrying on, I'm so passionate, I'm so into this thing, I'm like, and everyone else is sitting there, and I can see people a little bit unsettled, and I'm like carrying on, and then I just hear this gun cocking like that, and Boots, who is leading worship here just now, he walks up to the guy and he says, "Hey, but what are you doing?" And this guy starts getting aggressive, and he says, "I want all the cell phones," and he throws a Pick and Pay shopping bag, one of those green bags. He said, "I want all of your cell phones now." So he's speaking a bit of Sutu to Boots, and then he's just tells us, "Okay, let's all quickly hand in our cell phones." And so he takes the bag and he comes around, and I'm about to take out my cell phone. If you watch the video on Facebook, you'll see the camera was like not, we didn't see the guy because he was at the back the whole time. And you can see on the camera, I'm about to give my phone. And then he says to me, "No, I don't want your phone, Pastor." So I'm like, "Okay, what's this now?" So I put my phone back in my pocket, but I'm like, inside, I'm like, my heart is beating. I'm like, panicking a little bit, but on the outside I'm like staying as calm as I possibly can, and everyone's like shaking, and my son Matthew, he's 10 years old, he was in the course as well. But when I saw that gun, I just thought, "Lord, is this now our turn?" You know, you heard of churches being broken into and people being shot, and I'm thinking, is this it for us now? Is it like this time? And then we give all the cell phones in, and then he says to Boots in Sutu, he says, "No, I'm going to make an example here tonight." And so afterwards, Boots tells us he panicked a bit there because he thought maybe he's going to shoot, you know, one of us. And then he tells all the black guys, he says, "Okay, you guys can take your cell phones back. I want all the, you know, I'm going to keep the rest of the cell phones." And so, but in that moment, then he gives all the guys, the black guys, their cell phones back, and he takes the others, and then he says, "Okay, everyone on the front, lie face down on the stage at the front there, and just I want you to turn around, face that way, and all lie down now." So everyone's like coming to the front, lying down, and we just in a bit of shock, to be honest. And then he tells me to stand up. And in that, just before that, in the moment when everyone was handing out their phones, I was like, the Lord said to me, I felt the Lord's by His Spirit saying to me, it's going to be okay. That's the words I heard, it's going to be fine. But I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Is it going to be fine for me, or fine for everyone else, or not fine for me, or, you know. And I'm looking towards the stage, and I stand up, and then this cold feeling just comes through my body. I'm like, I'm going to take a bullet now. And like, and to be honest, in that moment, I'm feeling like, okay, I'm ready to go, you know, like, to live is Christ and to die is gain, you know, like Paul said. But I don't want my family to live without me. But I'm like, Lord, what's happening here? And then that word that God gave me was like pretty challenged, because He said it's going to be fine. And that's what I felt the Lord saying. I'm thinking, is it really going to be fine? And so I'm standing up there, and then He says, "Pray, Pastor, pray, pray, pray." If you ever had a robber with a gun telling you to pray, you pray like never before. And I'm not praying loud enough, so I pray loud, I'm praying in the Spirit, I don't know what to pray, but I'm praying, 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 and then He tells everyone, pray. And I can tell you, there's nothing like that to get a prayer meeting going. Spirit and truth worship like never before. And we don't know how long, it must have felt, it felt like an hour, but it was just probably 5 or 10 minutes that we prayed, and the guy must have left, because you could see on the camera afterwards that he looked a little bit around, he checked if we were not running after him, and then he gapped it with 8 cell phones and the church's laptop. But our lives were never the same again. And I'm thankful the Lord showed me, allowed that to happen. It wasn't great, it wasn't nice, but He allowed these tests to happen for 2 things. Number one, first of all, for our faith. He wanted to test my faith. He wanted to test our faith. When He says something, can we really trust Him on it? Do we believe the word He's given us? And the second thing he showed me why it happened was just to get, have a little bit of a glimpse of what the persecuted church experiences, where people die for their faith. Where people are faced with that fear of death and you realize, okay, this is it, Lord Jesus, I want to go to you, take me. But in that moment, I truly did have peace, but I can tell you, it wasn't nice. It was a test. It was a true test. And so, this evening, I want to talk about Jesus' greatest test in Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 46. You can turn with me to Luke chapter 22. It's on the slides as well, but maybe you want to read it. As jy in Afrikaans dit wil lees, in jylle Bybels is jylle baie welkom. Ek kan ook bietjie Afrikaans praat, nee. Although I'm an Engelsman. But the Lord sent me to Bloemfontein, so you know, when you're English in Bloemfontein, you might learn Afrikaans whether you like it or not. And I'm married to a beautiful Afrikaans wife, so you know, she's also a Free Stater from the Eastern Free State. Just want to quickly share, you know, when the Lord sent us from, so we grew up in, or not grew up, I was in the ministry in Stellenbosch, or I met Shofar Church in Stellenbosch, the main church, the first church was planted called Shofar there. And we had to, the Lord told us to leave, you know, to go to Pretoria to help the church there. So we left the beautiful winelands and the Cape and everything, and it was terrible to have to leave these mountains and go to Gauteng. And so we're driving here past Gauteng, you know, through the Free State, and my wife's eventually starting to like get happy, you know, happy with this move of ours. It's not really nice, but she says, you know what, I'm actually getting quite excited about Pretoria because at least we don't have to come to this place. And so we're passing Bloemfontein and she's like, she's from Rates in the Eastern Free State, she doesn't want to come to Bloemfontein. And a year later, the Lord says, Bloemfontein. So we've learned not to say, I'll never go to this place, I'll never go to that place. So now we actually do say, I'll never go to Mauritius, I'll never go to the Maldives, I'll never go to Hawaii, but the Lord hasn't answered that prayer yet. But I'm married to an Afrikaans wife, so I kind of Afrikaans word praat, maar ek hou daarvan om in Engels te preek, so actually really don't mind, ek gee nie om nie. But tonight you can read from Luke chapter 22 from verse 39 to 46. Let's just read the whole passage together and then I'm going to give four things that Jesus did to overcome his greatest test. And maybe it can help you tonight. Maybe tonight you can just go out of this place learning something of what Jesus did, how Jesus overcame his greatest test of his life. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. I just want to stop there quickly. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. It was a place that he was accustomed to go to. You know what? He prayed there. He had time of intimacy. He had time with his Father in the Mount of Olives. Regularly, it was a mountain where there were olive trees and olive groves. And we'll look at now what they did with those olives. But it says here, his disciples also followed him. And I want to say to you tonight that when Jesus calls you to follow him, he's going to take you through some tests. Amen. Can I have an amen? When Jesus calls you to follow him, he's going to take you through some trials and tribulations. Because he said, this world will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Isn't that good news tonight? He has overcome the world. But he will take you through, just like his disciples followed him to this place, which was normally his place of solitude and alone time with his Father. But you'll see from the story, it became his place of pain. Albeit just for a while. When he came to that place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose up from prayer and he had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Jesus' greatest test was right there in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the Mount of Olives. And it's significant that the Father, in his great wisdom, allowed this to happen right there on the Mount of Olives in the Garden. See, Jesus, from this story and this place of pain, or this place of solitude and alone time and prayer with his Father, became his place of pain. Isn't that crazy? But in the end, it became his place of purpose. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Going from pain to purpose. Going from a year where there's been pain, suffering, unhappiness, discomfort, all sorts of challenging things happening, but God wants to take you from a 2020 year of pain to a year of his purpose. How did Jesus overcome this greatest test? And how can you overcome the greatest test that you may be experiencing or sometime in the future? Because I can tell you that your suffering and your pain will not just go away in 2021. There will be tough times of challenge as well. Amen. So number one, how did Jesus get through this time of testing? Number one, you can write this down and remember it if you want to. He prayed. Tell someone next to you, he prayed. He told his disciples, follow me into this place where I'm going to suffer a little bit, but I want you to know that you need to pray as well. Amen. And he's telling all of us as his followers, it's time for us to pray. If there's a challenge and a time of suffering and a time of pain, it's time to pray. And he says, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he knelt down and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. You see, prayer, friends, is our connection to the Father. It's our lifeline. Prayer is not just something we do. And I think in church life, often when we hear about a prayer meeting or when you hear about prayer, it's like this thing that you must add to your day. And yes, there's a time of commitment and there's hours of prayer and hours that we must set aside. But I want to say today, prayer it should be a lifestyle. Amen. Prayer should be our connection to God. Prayer is something that God wants us to do regularly, and God wants us to do it from our hearts. I hope my little daughter doesn't mind me sharing this. By the way, yeah, my three amazing kids sitting in the front and my amazing wife. It's amazing to have them here tonight. They used to having a 4 o'clock service, then we finished by now, but they're gonna endure the preaching tonight. That's such a blessing. But my little daughter Caitlin, and I want to read what she wrote, because this changed my life, this softened my heart, this made me realize. And she actually did say that I can read this. So I'm gonna read what she wrote. She wrote it in about a month or two ago. She said, when you love Jesus a lot, then he loves you even more. That is the best feeling. And Jesus can talk to you, and you must talk to him. Is the Lord good or is the Lord bad? I think the Lord is good, very, 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 very good. And even more good. And I want to thank him. I love him with all of my heart. I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. And you have to love others from your heart. Jesus is yours and mine, and he loves us all, and we have to pray to him, and it is good to pray to him. You have to love yourself, not just all of your friends and family. I want to tell you that. So she's preaching to me here. You have to love yourself, your friends, your mom, dad, and everyone. You have to pray to him. That is what you have to do. It is very good to pray and to read the Bible. I want to pray for Caitlin, for my school, for my work at school, for my mom and dad and my family, and for my cough, because she had a bit of a cough at the time, and for my friends and for the poor people. Jesus is with you all the time, and Jesus will be with you all the time. Jesus, oh Jesus, you are with us all the time. Jesus, oh Jesus, we love you so much. I love Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. They are with us all the time. 8 years old. God wants us to be like children, guys. Amen. And pray like children and be dependent upon Jesus like we... Our life matters on that dependence. Amen. And that night, I tell you, it was just amazing to experience that dependence upon God like I've never before. And it was significant that guy told me to pray, because I think it was a word from the Lord. It's time to pray. Amen. It's time to pray. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus, when he went through his greatest trial, he prayed. I want to ask you tonight, do you pray? Is the first thing you do when you go through a challenge, is it that you pray, or do you run around trying to fix the problem? Let's be honest, I'm a fixer. I'm an engineer, okay? I just want solutions. And sometimes God is saying, you know what? I've got the solution. It's not about you getting the solution. It's just about you getting to me. Because I am the solution. Amen. Jesus himself is the solution. So pray is the first thing that Jesus did when he went through his greatest test. And then it goes on in verse 43 and says, Father, so this is what he prayed. He said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then an angel appeared, strengthening him. Guys, the second thing Jesus wants us to do when we go through our tough times, and he demonstrated this, he set this as an example for all of us, is when he prayed, he also did something in response to that prayer. He surrendered. You see, prayer changes you and me. Prayer aligns us with the will of our Father. Can I have an amen? Prayer doesn't change God as much as it changes us. Prayer aligns us with the will of God. When we connect with God, then Jesus wrestled and he said, Father, I don't want to go through with this. This is tough. But Lord, it's all about your will. It's not about my will or my comfort or my desire. And the suffering maybe that you've gone through this year, you have to ask yourself, have you wrestled and prayed to God and said, God, what is your will in this situation? I want to ask you, what is the will of God? But more than that, what is the will of God for you? What is the will of God for your life? Have you asked him in 2020, why must you have gone through this personally, this challenge? Look, the world went through a massive challenge and a shaking, but you, in your response to all of this, why did you have to go through certain things that happened? And obviously it's not God's will that you were sick. If some of you got sick or had family members sick and maybe you know someone who died, it's not God's will. But why do you have to go through suffering and pain sometimes? Why? God, but not my will, God. Your will be done. You see, surrender is a powerful thing. Surrender is about fully trusting in Father God. Because we all control freaks, isn't that so? We all want to control every little thing. And God is asking some of you tonight just to surrender. I'm going to give an opportunity for us just to respond and to say, Lord, I want to surrender to your will because I'm so confused. Now, I don't know what your will is anymore. But Lord, show me. I'm going to surrender and say to you, Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. And you know what the good news is? Just like what happened to Jesus, when we pray and when we surrender, guess what? He comes down from heaven and he strengthens us. Isn't that beautiful? He sent an angel. The Father sent an angel to strengthen Jesus in this time, not to take the suffering away, not to take the pain away, not to take this cup away from him. Because it was God's will that this cup remained with him. He had to drink of this cup of suffering. And you know what the good news is, friends, tonight? God has sent more than an angel for us. He sent us his Holy Spirit from heaven to earth to dwell with us. Amen. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and just say, Holy Spirit, I recognize your presence. And strengthen me now, Spirit of God. You see, Jesus didn't only surrender, but he was praying continuously. He didn't pray and then the next, you know, it's like we very much, some of us are very boxy people, so it's the prayer and then it's the surrender. No, it's the prayer and you continue praying. Jesus continued praying, and while he was praying, he came to this place of surrender. And in that place, the angel came and strengthened him. I'm sure some of you need strength here tonight. Amen. Just for the rest of the year, for the exams, for the challenges, the stresses, for next year's plan. Sure, God, I don't even know. I'm finishing at the end of the year. Where am I going to go next year, Lord? There's so many uncertainties. But Lord, strengthen me. Amen. And he will. He's faithful to come and strengthen you. The third thing Jesus did, and he was continuing in prayer, and it said the following, in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Say, prayed more earnestly. That night, I tell you, I've never prayed more earnestly in my life than I did that night. I don't know what I was praying, but you know what the blessing of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that your spirit is praying. Your heart is beating and your spirit is praying. And the fear of death comes to want to grip you, and it's like you think this is the end. And the Spirit of God is just welling up inside of you. Why? Because you've got the Spirit who helps you in your weaknesses. And Jesus prayed more fervently and more earnestly. And his sweat, the Bible says, became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Isn't that hectic? The medical people don't exactly know, like, or the commentators on this verse don't like exactly know. Now, was it like drops of blood or was it real drops of blood? Some say it was real blood. Some say it was sort of a comparison, but the medical people say there's sometimes when your body goes through so much stress that the sweat has got a little bit of like blood in it because the pores open and all of these. I don't know exactly the medical terms, but it doesn't matter about whether it was that or, you know, real blood or just sweat in comparison to blood, thick sweat, whatever. The truth is, yeah, Jesus was going through incredible pain and stress. If we think we were going through stress that night when a gun is pointed at you, then this was more than that. Because this was stress that he realized what he was going to have to go through. He realized he was going to have to take the weight of the sin of the world upon himself. And was he able, as a human being, as a 100% man, although he was also 100% God, is he going to be able to take this? Is he going to be able to go through this? And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and his worst pain was happening. His worst suffering was happening. And he was going through the olive press. What they did in those days, there at the Mount of Olives, they used to press the olives and crush them into oil, anointing oil that was used for very special purposes. So what happened briefly, what happened at the olive press was that olives were taken, it's like similar to what happens with grapes, the olives were taken and they were put into a pulp or crushed into a pulp in a stone basin. So it was like this round thing, a round stone, just crushing it. It was called the olive crusher, and then there were, so that was the crushing part that happened. Then what happened was it formed pulp, it formed like a thick layer of pulp like that. Then they would put this massive slab, this huge heavy slab of stone, and they would press the oil out of these olives, squeeze the pulp, every little bit of pulp, and it would flow, the oil would flow out, and then actually the best oil would flow last. The first oil came out, and the more crushing and the more pressing there was, the better the oil and the quality of oil. Isn't that amazing that Jesus Christ went through that exact process? He was like an olive, being crushed first of all, and then being pressed, squeezed, that even sweat and blood came out of him. Why? For the sins of the world. He went through his worst suffering and his worst pain so that we can have life. So the image of Gethsemane on the slope of the Mount of Olives provided this picture of Jesus suffering. The weight of the sins of the world pressed down upon him like a heavy slab of rock pressed down on the olives in their baskets. And his sweat flowed from him like olive oil as it was squeezed out and flowed into the pit of the olive press. I want to ask you tonight, aren't you glad that Jesus Christ went through the pressing and the crushing for you and for me? For all our pain, for all our suffering, for all our sins. But he didn't only do it so that we don't have to suffer. He did it so that when we do suffer, we can go through with it. Amen. We can go through with the pain and the suffering. And that's why the third thing Jesus did is Jesus endured. And I want to say to you tonight, in the tough time you're going through, ask Jesus to help you endure just like he did. Because imagine if he had given up. Imagine if he didn't go through with it. I want to say to you, I want to encourage you, your pain and your suffering is always for the benefit of you and for the benefit of other people. Jesus went through this pain and suffering, not for his comfort and necessarily for his benefit. Ultimately, it was for his benefit because he was always going to be ordained at the right hand of the Father. He was always going to rise from the dead and sit and intercede for us. So ultimately, it was for the benefit of him, but ultimately, it was for the benefit of us, that we can be free. But I want to encourage you tonight, endurance, friends, is not walking away from the calling of God on your life. Endurance is not taking the easy way out. And sports people will know this. I'm a long distance runner. You know, endurance is something that you have to make a peace with. You're running a long distance race and that last few kilometers of a half marathon or even a 10 kilometer are not fun. It's painful. But in order to reach the goal that you need to reach, you've got to go through with it. There's no easy way out. You can train hard, and I tell you, the harder you train, the faster you'll run, and the more pain you'll, it'll be painful. Life is a long distance race, you know, and it's going to be a joy. You know, I love running. That pain is not like I don't want it. You actually embrace it, and you learn to go through with it. And you love it. You start to actually love that pain, because you know there's an end goal. There's a finish line. It's the best feeling when you go over that finish line, and you've known, you've endured. You didn't give up when it was uncomfortable. But endurance, I want to say again, is not walking away from God's calling, and God wants you to endure in this time. And the last thing he did, after he had prayed, after he had endured, while he was praying all the time, it says here in verse 45, when he rose up from prayer, doesn't that word rise remind you of something that he would do a few weeks later? Or a few days later, he would rise up from the dead. He rose up from prayer and he came to his disciples. He found them sleeping and he said, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray lest you enter into temptation." He said it again the second time. Rise and pray lest you enter into temptation. The other other Gospels talk about Jesus saying the following. He says, "Rise, let us be going. Let us pursue the purpose that God has called me to pursue. Let me pursue this purpose. It's time to pursue the purpose. It's time to go to the cross. It's time to die." And his disciples had to follow him. And we know what happened. They all ran away. They couldn't take it. Just the women were there. You know, women are strong. The men, sometimes we're a bit weak. We just run away. But Jesus didn't run away. Jesus fulfilled the purpose of God for his life. He rose up and pursued and fulfilled the purposes of God to give himself up as the final and complete sacrifice for the sins of the world. And that includes you and me. And I want to say tonight, friends, because he overcame in the garden, he overcame in the grave. I want to say that again. Because he overcame in the garden, he overcame in the grave. And I want to tell you, 2020 was like a bit of a year of the garden of Gethsemane. Bit of the pressing, a bit of the crushing. Amen. Anyone feel like that? If you didn't, then I want to say it's coming your way sometime. Because the crushing and the pressing in our lives has to happen. And maybe it's happened for you. Maybe you've been through a lot in your life and you look back and you think, "This is nothing compared to what I've been through." Then remember that crushing and that pressing. Remember the oil that is going to come out of you. I want to say, when you've done your time, and it may take long, it may not take long, when you've done your time in that place of wrestling with God, it's time to rise up, go, and let the oil of the anointing flow in your life. It's time to get up, to go, and let the anointing oil of that crushing and that pressing flow in your life. That's why crushing and pressing need to happen. Amen. Do you see it? Do you embrace it? Do you want to embrace pain sometimes? Why? Because there's a beautiful fragrance. There's an anointing oil that needs to come out of us. Why does Jesus tell his disciples, pray because of temptation? Resist the temptation. Why? And I've called it here. Before I finish, I'm almost done. I want to look at just a spiral of compromise in our lives. Why did Jesus say it's time to pray and rise up and forget or overcome temptation? Why? Because what does temptation in our lives do? I've called it the spiral of compromise. First of all, we compromise on our convictions. Giving in to temptation doesn't just lead to sin. It's about doing sin. I want to say that tonight. The temptation Jesus is talking about is not sin as in doing bad stuff. Because that's what we think sin is sometimes. Eh? Sin is simply missing the mark, missing the purposes of God. So Jesus is telling these guys, don't give in to temptation. Why? Because you're going to miss the purposes of God. Sometimes we're sleeping in the spirit, isn't that so? And that's why these disciples struggled to stay awake, because there was a temptation coming upon them just to be passive and to like walk away. And that's what they did. And Jesus forgave them, but he called them back again. But I want to say, don't go that way of temptation. Don't walk away from the purposes of God. Because your pain should not lead you to a place of hardness. Amen. Your pain shouldn't lead you to a place of walking away. Your pain should lead you to a place where you go through the pain in order to get to the purpose. So what happens? So what, we compromise on our convictions. Number one, what do? We start to walk away from Jesus. So 2020, if you look at around the world, you look at even South Africa, you look at the church, and I'm talking mainly to believers here, because I guess unbelievers can't really walk away from Jesus. They're already away from Jesus. But sometimes believers, we walk away from Jesus. We walk away from our convictions. And some people, friends, are even walking away from the church right now. And I know I'm not speaking to those people, because you guys are here tonight. I want to honor you for being here. I want to honor you for being in this church. Whether it's Shofar or Siloam, I want to honor you for committing and going through with it. But many people are walking away. Many people are giving in to temptation. It's not like they're doing bad stuff. It's like walking away from the purposes of God. So what happens? We start to compromise on our faith and our convictions. We slowly walk away from Jesus. But more than walking away from Jesus, we walk away from his people. That accountability, that relationship, amen, that you need to have to keep you focused. And in this lockdown, I mean, so many people had an opportunity to walk away from church, just to do church online. There's nothing wrong with church online, but that's not Jesus' plan. Jesus said, make disciples. It's all about relationship. It's not just about getting a message and going again. It's about walking the journey of discipleship. And so what happens? We compromise a little bit, then we start to entertain and even tolerate sin in our lives, eh? No one is watching you. No one is asking you the tough questions. So you walk away a little bit from God's people and the people of God and your accountability partner. And then, and you, yes, Jesus is there and he loves you. And then you start to entertain a little bit of sin. Start to compromise. And you even start to enjoy it, you know, whether it's pornography or lustful stuff or just compromising on your values and your convictions. Start to watch too much TV. You spend time on the phone playing games, all the stuff. Social media, and then you become a bit prideful as well, you know. Someone challenges you, and I know better, you know. You start to entertain and compromise and tolerate sin in your life, and then what happens? So you start to do this stuff. You do bad stuff, and then you feel even worse. Then you start to feel guilty, shameful, full of condemnation. The devil comes and he says, yeah, I've got you exactly where I want you. And depression sets in. And guess what happens? We weak and we fall into sin and we've got no one to say to us, or we don't reach out to other people. We're walking away from relationships and we start to compromise, and then eventually we're so guilty, so full of shame and depression, and eventually we get into more sin, you know, because sometimes doing bad stuff, just you think it's going to make you feel better. And more guilt, more depression, more shame comes in, and eventually what do? We lose our hope and we stop pursuing a godly purpose. We stop pursuing the purpose of God. And I've seen it, I've been around church life long enough to see people start to compromise and they go down the spiral. And I can tell you, when you get to the bottom, it is difficult to get back up. It's possible, but don't go there, friends. Don't go there. Don't allow the pain and the suffering to harden your heart to a place where you start to compromise, you start to sin and entertain it, and you get into guilt and shame, and eventually you lose hope in the purpose of God. You might not walk away from Jesus. You might go to heaven, and you'll make it to heaven. You'll be like just grabbing onto Moses' beard there, you know, when you get to heaven. You're like, survive, Lord, help me, pull me over the line. And you're like these guys that do these 100K or, you know, 90K races, like they're crawling over the line, like they're dead. That's not the life God has called us to live. God has called us to go over that finish line confidently, where we've pursued the purpose of God. We're not just surviving. We're not just me and Jesus saved me. It's about Jesus. There's a calling on my life. There's a purpose to live for. There's disciples to be made. There's people to be reached. There's churches to be planted. There's lives to be changed. Amen. There's a purpose to be fulfilled in this life. But pain can lead us to that place where we lose hope and we lose our purpose. And what is our purpose? Ultimately, to know Christ and to make Him known. To know Him and to become like Him. To know Him and to lead others to know Him. But I want to tell you tonight, I want to finish off as the band comes forward tonight. I want to encourage you that Jesus' story can be your story. Can I have an amen? Jesus' story, going through the Garden of Gethsemane in order that He could overcome the grave, can be your story. Your story can go from pain to purpose if you allow Him. Why? Because Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is your sting? Amen. O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God. I love the buts in the Bible. But thanks be to God. But God, eh? 2020, but God. COVID, but God. Suffering and pain, but God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, can I have a big amen? I always say to people, I get injured. I'm an athlete, so I train hard, so I get injured and I have my setbacks. And I always tell our running group, I said, you know what, every setback is an opportunity for a comeback. Every setback is an opportunity for a comeback. Come back. 2020, guys, it was a setback. It wasn't great. Getting robbed at gunpoint wasn't great. But you know what? That setback is an opportunity for a comeback. And tonight I'm sharing this, and I'm just so thankful to be able to share this testimony, because it gives God glory. And it encourages you to keep going. It encourages you to overcome. It encourages you to trust in Jesus Christ, so that he can teach you to pray first of all, to surrender, to endure, and then to rise up and to pursue the purpose of God and not allow that pain to get you down, not allow the suffering to get you down. Amen. And I want to say tonight, some of you, you need to surrender your will to his will. Some of you need to surrender so that your life can become his life that he wants to live through you. Maybe you need to commit to Jesus Christ for the first time or for the 20th time. Whatever the Spirit is leading you to do tonight, come back to Jesus. Come to this place where you pray, you surrender, you endure, and then it's time to rise up. Will you allow him to turn your pain into his purpose? Your mess into his message, your test into his testimony. History, his story. Can we all stand this evening as we pray?